Welcome back to the second hour of the KFPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Saturdays 5 to 8 here on KFPK, 1530 AM and 93.1 FM. Real quick, here's your shooting times today. In Colusa, 654. San Francisco Bay Area, 652. The Sacramento area, 650. And down at Los Banos, 644 this morning. Let's talk to Mr. Rob Reimers of Rustic Rob's Guide Service, who's having a ball out at the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. I'm only halfway through the show, and I'm already hoarse.
Well, when I came by Thursday, you were cooking.
We've been really busy. I really appreciated all your listeners who stopped by and talked to us. There's been a ton of them, and I'm just really having a ball out there.
Yeah, I know. I could tell. And Chris Ditter was in the booth. Is he going to be there as well?
Yeah, he'll be there today and tomorrow as well. Okay. Both of us are in the booth all 4 days.
Okay, of course, Chris Ditter has Head Rush Sport Fishing. He's a striper salmon guy. He'll start going pretty quick here, but he's a good fisherman, too. He's fun to talk to.
Yeah, I just met him for the first time down there. He seems like a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
We'll probably start hooking up a lot more during salmon season when I go down to Sacramento and do a little networking and whatnot.
You bet.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, the day before the show started, you went up to Bullard's Bar.
Yeah, I took the Brad's guys out. Mike came down from Washington. And his flight got in, you know, in the morning, so we didn't get out there until and start fishing until about 11 o'clock, which is normally when I'm getting off the water. So it was something new for me. And we started fishing, about 11 and about 35, 40 feet. And right away, we were bang, 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 getting some fish. And then all of a sudden, it kind of shut off. And we spent a little while there trying to figure out where some fish were and how deep. And we wound up going down to 60 feet, and we started catching fish again. So that was something. And it goes along with what Gary Coe was saying a couple weeks ago, where he said later in the day he was going down to 60 feet as well.
Yeah.
Something to put in your book.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that we're catching them that deep. Because the last couple of years, they've been, this time of year with these water temperatures, they've been a lot shallower. Now, not at Bullard's Bar necessarily, but in other places, you know.
So. Yeah, and, you know, I can think back a few years. I went up there in, like, February, early March, and tried it for a day, and we were long lining in, but I'm wondering if maybe just the one-year-old, two-year-old fish or up there high, and then the fish that we're after are just deeper.
Who knows? So, anyway, at least that's still going on. And, you know, that's the Yuba River drainage, and that's a pretty, that can get high and muddy, but not like other rivers.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see how clear the water still is. You know, it doesn't really, clarity-wise, it doesn't hardly seem to affect it at all. You know, we were up there, it was pouring down rain on us all day, so it's a little hard to compare it to a sunny day.
Yeah.
But it looked like it was fine to me. I mean, compared to any other lake I've been on.
Yeah. Hey, tell me more about this Dodger that Brad, because, you know, with the cut plug, I've always felt if you can slow that thing down a little bit, I think, it's great the way it is when it spins fairly fast in the water, but if you could slow it down, that's just another option that could entice fish. And now you've got a Dodger you can put in front of it. And I saw it yesterday as a kind of a big oval thing. I can see why. Yeah, you've talked about being able to troll that thing real slow. I can see why now.
Yeah, and you can really slow it down. What they did is they took one of their wobblers and they bent it a different way. And when you're trolling it, you can really slow it down and really kick side to side a lot. And I like it because up there in the wintertime, I'm trolling slower. And you can get down to less than a mile an hour. And it's just really kicking side to side a lot. And I'm putting good action on the lure.
And what kind of scent are you putting inside the little flap there in Brad's?
I'm putting Pro Cures Bloody Tuna. Sometimes I put a little anise with the Bloody Tuna. Yeah. Sometimes a little garlic with the Bloody Tuna. You know, kind of mix it up.
Yeah. Okay. And also, you got a little deal. You got some great color. I didn't realize when I first went by that you weren't selling stuff at the show in your booth, but two other outfits are selling them. I think Fisherman's Warehouse is one of them, and then Anglers West, who is now in the retail business, is also selling them.
Yes. Yeah, Brad's is just not wanting to step on the toes of our retailers. And we're the booth that I'm in, we're just a display booth, and then we'll direct you over to Angler West or Fisherman's Warehouse to buy. And if you buy three lures there and then come back to us with your receipt, we've got a selection of a free selection sitting on the table there, and we'll give you one of those.
And a lot of those are new colors, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, two of them, one of the little kokanee size,
yeah,
and one of the killer fish are brand new. Kiana just brought them down from Washington when she came down for the show, and they're brand new, and they haven't even been on the market yet.
All right. Rob, have a good time out there.
All righty.
You take it easy.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye. Rob Reimer's Rustic Rob's Guide Service. To book a trip, 530-632-0051. Yes, you got limits up at Bullard's Bar on Wednesday. Right around the corner from Brad's. By the way, that's booth number 3339, and that's in the pavilion, okay? And then just right around the corner is Tight Lines and James Netzel. He's number 3245, and he's got one of Paulina Peake's new Dodgers, and I know that if they had any to sell, they probably ran out. This is really something. This has got beveled edges to it. I have not seen anything like this in quite a while. But go by and have James show you what we're talking about here. And also, get over to Paulina Peake. Paulina Peake is also in the pavilion. And they're at booth number 3216. And talk to Richie Height, just a chance to talk one-on-one with Richie Height. He's always coming up with new stuff. This guy is a fisherman, and he's definitely worth going to. I mean, you got to talk to this guy. Okay? Kokanee Power, of course, is there, in the same place they are every year. They're in number 3126C in the pavilion. Went by there, people were signing up. That if you're going to sign up for a conservation organization, that's the one to do it, because you know where every single dollar goes, and they spend it for you. So keep that in mind when you're going to buy something. Comanche is there. Now, Comanche's got some deals going, too. You know, you buy one, get one free, as far as a lot of campsites in the park. You know, you can find out what the discounts they give veterans, the discounts they give veterans for boat rentals. They have discounted boat rentals. They got a lot of things going at the show. And questions for either cabins or boat rentals or campgrounds or whatever, they're at booth 3229 in the pavilion. So, you know, a lot of the people we talk to a lot are there. This is your chance to go and talk one-on-one with them. You're going to be at the show, and of course this week with the weather and the weather conditions for both hunting and fishing, you might as well go do it, huh? Okay, we'll be back with Scott Laseth, another show participant, right after this. Yes, I went by the Sportsman's Channel booth to see Scott Laseth. No, Scott wasn't there, but I proved I was there. I just sent him a picture of he and I next to his booth. He's got a great big picture of himself sitting there. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. And by the way, I don't have a great big picture of me there. I don't say, hey.
Look at me, look at me.
I'm not coming unless there's a really big picture of me there. I got nothing to do with that. So come on by, get your picture. I'm surprised nobody had put a mustache on there.
Well, you know, there's a few boys who are waiting to talk to you about that.
I figured it had been defaced by now. But
did you see the text I just sent you?
No, I'd have to look at my phone. And, yeah.
Well, it's a picture.
But I will.
It's a picture of you and I.
Or a picture of me with you.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll be there today. Okay. So, no, and today and tomorrow, 11 till 4 or so, maybe.
Yeah, and by the way, it's booth number B217. Interesting, you're B217 when you're in Building A.
In Building A, yeah. And we cut our booth we're sharing with Comcast.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of, we'll see how that works. We partner with Comcast and a lot of these things.
Sure,
and,
that's good.
And I will be serving something that I have been cooking forever and ever and ever. This was, or probably still is, a signature Silver Sage caterer's dish, the wild boar chili verde. And of course, there aren't too many wild boars left out there. They're all feral hogs, but if you say wild boar, it seems a bit more descriptive. Yeah. So, and for people that are thinking about shooting their first pig, and I talk to people all the time about this, the 400-pound pig, in general, won't taste nearly as good as that 120 to 150-pound pig.
Right.
So as much as you'd like to show...
Strong, I think you would have to say strong.
As much as you would like to show your buddies this photo of you with this big, giant pig, if you plan on eating it, and there are some exceptions. I've had somebody told me they had a 500-pound pig that I was in Denver last week, and they said it was absolutely delicious, the whole thing. If you've got an older boar, first thing you want to do is trim as much of that visible fat away as you can. So the boar fat in general doesn't taste good, and saving the fat is a bad idea.
It seems typical, excuse me for interrupting, but
no, go ahead.
In domestic game, we want to keep the fat for the flavor. In wild game, we want to get rid of the fat.
Right, and even very few exceptions, even deer fat. If you do happen to see some deer where they're kind of lazy deer and well-fed and they've got a lot of fat on them, try the fat first. Don't think it's going to taste good because a lot of times it's a bit off-tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with an old boar hog, if you're going to make chili verde, you want to cube it up, trim as much fat as you can. I'm using all shoulder and brown it first. And as you brown it and it renders off some of the juice, some of the fat, pour that fat off after you brown it.
Ah.
It's not as necessary with a younger female animal, but anything over 150-ish pounds, you cube it, you brown it, you render the fat off, pour that fat off, then you're going to add flavor. Then you add onions, peppers. I put it in chicken stock, and I just simmer it in chicken stock with the onions, peppers, garlic, until it starts to just get soft. Then I pour all that off and start over again. So especially if you've got a funky pig, then you want to get some of that funky pig flavor out of there. Then once it starts to get soft, then you can add more peppers, onions, tomatillos, all your seasoning. The last thing you're going to add is fresh cilantro, because you don't want to add that early because it just disintegrates and you'll never taste it. If you want to stretch it a little bit, you can throw in some black beans or some pinto beans. The batch that I'll be serving today and tomorrow at the ISE show is a little smoky because I made a boatload all at once, cubed it up, cooked it in a smoker, and browned it that way. So it added just a little bit different element to it. So it's going to be a smoky wild pig chili verde that you can eat.
What time are you going to be there, Scott?
I'll definitely be ready to roll by 11 o'clock, if not earlier.
Okay.
And tomorrow on the Sporting Chef Show at 10 a.m. our time on Sportsman Channel, we're having a sausage party.
Oh, I like it.
I'm gonna show you how to make sausage. Then I'm heading to Alabama next week for the Dead Meat Show to finish up Raccoons and Swamp Bunnies show.
Wow, I can hardly wait for that.
Well, I'll, so you won't be by today. You've already done your ISE
mission.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll have the picture to treasure forever.
Have a good time out there, Scott.
I'll talk to you.
Bye-bye. Scott Laceth, he's at the show today. Again, he's in booth B217 with Comcast. That's in Building A. And while we're talking about Wild Boar, you know, not too far, you just go underneath the ramp that you walked in on if you came in the main entrance, over to Building B and to the right, and there's the Golden Ram, which, you know, the Golden Ram is, I think, the oldest organization of its type in California, where they have leases of ranches. They have, and of course, pig hunting is a big part of that, as well as deer hunting and turkey hunting and quail hunting and bass fishing and trout fishing. They've got like 125,000 acres for their members. That's like 200 square miles of land you can hunt and fish on. So go by and see Nick at the Golden Ram. They've been doing this a long time. The people that join that organization love it. I mean, they love it. They like the way Nick manages it. And so the Golden Ram there in Building B. Okay, I talked to... Who did I talk to? Let's see here. Keith Frazier about the sturgeon and the conditions down in San Pablo Bay. Keith, we wait for the big storms to hit the area. San Pablo Bay muddies up a little bit, but who knows how much except you, and that's what I'm calling for. What's the conditions?
Absolutely perfect. And don't say it muddied up a little bit. It's muddied up one hell of a lot.
Yeah, okay. I expected
it
to be.
And conditions could not be better. When you called just now, I was expecting a call from one of my angling friends who was out. A lot of people were out today. And I was disappointed when I heard your voice. I was hoping for a report.
Well, I'll tell you.
I figure everybody did real well today, and they're going to do even better tomorrow with the even better tides.
Well, these are the best couple of sturgeon days I can ever imagine. I mean, just as the water's muddy, I mean, it gets those big fish cooking, doesn't it?
This is just absolutely ideal conditions for sturgeon fishing.
Now,
couldn't be any better, and the weather today. I don't think you would have done it, but if I was a couple of years younger, I would have been water skiing out there today.
You know, when we get these muddy water conditions, at what level does the tide, I mean, the tide is usually so important when fishing, especially is a little slower, but as we get these muddy waters, does the tide remain just as important or a little less important?
I think it's much less important. It's still important, and if it's just a normal amount of rain, then it's quite important. But the deluge that we've had in early January is going to certainly make the tides less critical.
Yeah. Well, the fish just go on the bite, and it gets rid of all the bait stealers, which is good.
It does that, and you're absolutely right. Today was water ski calm today. It was a sheet of glass.
Isn't that something? Now I'm anxious to find out how those guys did out there.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Hey, do you have any mud shrimp by any chance?
I don't have the mud shrimp yet, but I was lucky enough to get a big shipment of ghost shrimp. You know, and I'm sure your listeners know, the weather up in Oregon and Washington has been at its all-time worst. And we've only had a few deliveries, but we got a big delivery Thursday. And we're in good shape. We have plenty of live grass shrimp and plenty of live ghost shrimp. And hopefully next week, in time for the derbies up your way.
That's Keith Frazier, Loch Lomond Marina. Welcome back. Sorry I miscalculated the time on that last segment, but Keith Frazier's number, check for baits and conditions down in Loch Lomond Marina in San Rafael, is 415-456-0321. Now, I know that Clyde Wands, the old-timer, he is going to be going out fishing tomorrow, I should say Tuesday, with a friend. I saw him at the show. and he's getting along fine. And we talked. I said, well, it might be difficult to come up with a fishing report, but I'll tell you what, let's just find out what Clyde has to say right now. Good morning, Clyde.
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, I think everybody was at the show. Not too much in reports, but the water's high now.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll be out on Tuesday for sturgeon. Probably launch out of Lawrence's. And
Lawrence's?
Using their cleaning station over there when I get back.
Lawrence's.
Lawrence's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They got a great ramp protected.
That's a nice place to launch out. And they have a nice cleaning station
there.
They do. I'm not sure. We were talking Pittsburgh. I'm not sure where we'll go. It depends on how much junk's floating down the river. Maybe into Montezuma. Give that a try.
Well, and also, you know, with all this mud coming down to Sacramento, it'll be interesting to see what happens to San Joaquin. That could be a little sleeper bite there.
Well, that's probably later in the week. I'm kind of debating, what do I want to do later in the week? There's quite a bit to do now. I could go trout fishing, which I don't think I'll do until February.
Yeah.
And I think I will try the San Joaquin. This week, I'll get my live boat tank hooked up and take some mud suckers and go over there and give it a combination trip, little bit of trolling and see what's going on. Just kind of looking around, seeing what I can find over there.
Absolutely.
And it's the time of the year. I mean, the water's warm enough to troll now if we find any clear water and just see what's going on.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to do right now with the everything going. But anyway, back to the show. What do you think, Bob? Pretty good show.
It's always a good show. You know, I like to see a lot of the people that I only see once a year there.
Absolutely. I didn't know I knew so many people that come up to me, wanted to know how I was doing, when I'm going to get back on the river.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of things. Well, my friend, he bought a couple Phoenix rods. We went over and he got a pretty good deal from the fisherman's warehouse.
Sure.
He went in there and I won a very nice jacket. A rain jacket, and at one of the seminars we stopped into, they were throwing these T-shirts out. There was three of them, and I happened to get one. Got bounced off a guy's hand in front of me and landed in my lap. I just sat down there to listen to Jay Lopes, and in that was a tag for a really nice jacket.
Yeah, that's great. Right? Good for you.
And then we picked up some scent, and I stopped by and I got some of those Brad bait deals.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
Oh, it was good. The only thing is, I played out. I didn't get to see all of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one thing, Clyde. You know, walking around there, that's all that concrete floor, and they have very few places to sit down.
Yeah.
And right. I wish they'd change that because that's a lot of walking on a concrete floor.
Well, I gave my leg a test, that new knee anyway, and I'm not quite ready to climb the banks on the American, which I love to do. Not this year, I don't think. Not yet, anyway. But we're going to be out Tuesday and probably again Thursday. We kind of canceled out for Monday. It looks like we're going to have a little bit of wind.
Yeah.
The report I got, the long range.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. 20. We'll see what happens. But at least we'll have a report from you next week.
Oh, yeah. I'll be out a couple times next week.
Okay, Clyde, good luck out there.
Okay, Bob.
Thank you. Bye. Clyde Wands, the old-timer. Okay, back over to Clear Lake. Not so much for bass, but for crappie. I talked to Bill McDaniel. Bill, all this inclement weather and everything, that Clear Lake can get pretty rough. I wouldn't imagine too many people are out bass fishing, huh?
This is true, Bob. It's a bit slow, obviously. With it's been, you know, really pouring, and the wind's been up a bit. So it's been slow, but, you know, there's a few guys going out. The shad are still thick. I had a report from a guy who went bass fishing, and he was snagging a lot of shad, so he put it on the bottom, and he caught three big catfish, and then said, to heck with it. he moved up a little farther up the narrows and got into a crappie bite, and so made his day. But with the tournament coming up a week from tomorrow, there's guys coming early to, there's no pre-fishing the day before, so they're going to be coming up this week, and
yeah,
guys trying to hunt spots, so they're all not all in one place throwing rocks at each other.
Yeah. who do they think they are, bass fishermen?
Yeah, I know. But a lot of these guys, you know, it's the first time they've done something like this, so they're all excited. It'll be fun.
I think it's great, and it's sold out, and that's good for you and the leg, and it's too bad for the guys who want to get in. But as we mentioned last week, you're going to have a couple of more, and then kind of a tournament of champions. We'll talk more about that later. But Bill, I know a lot of the attention right now is on crappie, and of course, this is the time of year a lot of people think they're the best eaten, without a doubt. You know, the nice cold water. And so where are they? I mean, in the spring, you know, you catch them under every bush and every dock around the lake, but that doesn't hold true all year. What's the deal now?
Well, you know, there has been sort of an amazing thing that down by Pinedale, there's been a huge school there for now over a month. The school's the size of a football field. I mean, it's just huge.
Really?
There's just been boats down there every day.
That's what you're talking about, throwing rocks at each other.
Exactly. Yeah, they you know, that we're going to make sure in the tournament that is very clear. You cannot, if you can cast at each other and connect your jigs, you're too close. But at any rate, they've been taking them down there. Some of the usual spots like Indian Beach, Konatai, they've been there earlier, but smaller ones, and then left. Until just today, a guy just up in Glen Haven, he was getting them. So,
so how deep of water are they?
They're still running between 20 and 30 feet.
Okay, so it's still definitely a winter pattern. That's pretty common. That's a good average depth for them in the winter.
Correct.
Yeah. Are they drifting minnows or are they jigging or with
both? Absolutely, yeah. Both, and I'd say more jigs than the minnows, actually. And now with all this rain, you know, the patterns can change. The fish can move. We'll see what happens over the next few days. But,
yeah.
But both are working, and like I say, the fish are running really big, 16, 17, even 18 inches. I mean, just really.
That's big crappie right there.
Indeed.
That's Bill McDaniel at Limit Out Bait and Tackle. Call Bill 707-998-1006. And that 20 to 30-foot depth, I would say more 20 to 35-foot depth is pretty true all over this time of year for crappie, whatever lake you fish. So, okay, after the break, we'll talk to Mr. Chris Lorenson about conditions on both the San Joaquin and the Sacramento River. Right now, though, I want to talk about Adventure Sports, which has, I mean, a huge display of fishing kayaks at the show. And they're right outside the pavilion. If you were going to go between the pavilion and Building C, the fly fishing building, they're right outside the pavilion. And they have got, I don't know, I meant to count the kayaks, but, you know, a lot of them are under tents. I don't know how many kayaks there are, but there's accessories there. But I want to tell you something right now. Nobody, first of all, has a better selection in the western United States of Hobie fishing kayaks than Adventure Sports. The second thing you must know is Hobie themselves do not allow anybody to put their product on sale unless it's at a show like this. This is where you can save some money. For example, the Outback, a lot of Hobie packages have a $500 package that goes along with it, will cost you nothing. So you can save $500 on all the accessories and amenities that you would buy anyway extra for the Hobies. And they have, I think they've got a dozen Hobies at the show. And you can sit there, you can compare the Pro Angler with the brand new 2019 Outback, which everybody has been raving about. I mean, it doesn't look like much, but it's like it cuts through the water, got a little sharper bow. It's just as stable. Well, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. These guys out there, they're great guys. They know kayaking because they all do it. And so they've got Jackson kayaks. They've got specials on there, a $300 a depth finder, sonar, GPS with several Jackson kayaks. Their rep is there. It's a great time to find out anything you want to know about kayaks. And, of course, they're not going to haul all those things out to the show without making it something worthwhile for you. Now, but pay attention. If you've ever wanted a Hobie kayak, this is the time to get it at the show, Adventure Sports. You can go to the store later on, but get out to the show. Take advantage of the Hobie kayak prices and all the show prices at the Adventure Sports booth. Welcome back, welcome back. Well, we've been talking about the conditions. We've been talking about Lawrenson's, and now, coincidentally enough, Mr. Chris Lawrenson joins us. Good morning.
Hey, well, good morning, Bob. How are you?
We had a lot of nice things said about your place today.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
I was listening.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, of course, you're there every day, and then, of course, you drove the river, but yesterday was a nice, calm day, but we had trouble finding fishermen. Did you see any evidence of anything going on?
I saw, as I was coming back from the ISC show last night, I saw one boat anchored out over by Decker Island, between Decker Island and the Three Mile Slough Bridge, and that's the only boat that was on the water, either going up yesterday or coming back down last night.
Wow, isn't that something?
Yeah,
isn't that something? What are the conditions like in the San Joaquin? Are they as bad as the Sacramento?
No, San Joaquin is much clearer as far as the color of the water. The Sacramento is really brown, real chalky. The San Joaquin is a lot clearer, but we're seeing a lot of debris, old dead water hyacinth floating around because the king tides are coming. The king tides will be Sunday and Monday. We have a 7 foot on Sunday. We have a 7.1 in the afternoon tides here in the Delta. And so we're getting all the debris that washes up all year long with the west winds. All that stuff is floating in the river now, along with the water hyacinths that have all died.
Oh, okay. So as we get into, you know, of course, the muddy water, the sturgeon love, I mean, it gets them going, you know.
Yep.
And yesterday was already a pretty good day for fishermen that went out on San Pablo Bay. It triggers the sturgeon to move to start their spawning runs. They come in. And here you have the Sacramento and the San Joaquin coming together, and I have seen years where throughout the San Joaquin and even up the lower McCallamy, sturgeon fishing has been excellent when Sacramento has been had a extremely high flow. Not that you can't catch them in certain sections of the Sacramento, but I'm saying don't overlook the San Joaquin.
No. You know, one of the secret spots is between the Antioch Bridge, and down by the Antioch Marina along the southern shoreline in that 50-foot of water in what used to be called Dom Tar, that pier that still brings gypsum in from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
The Antioch Lumber Company is a great place, Riverview Lodge. All off of those spots in 50-foot of water produce sturgeon. You'll see guys that will go back there year after year. The only thing that you have to worry about right now is I was looking at the I Street Bridge in Sacramento for water flows this morning. So we're flowing 48,000 CFS cubic feet per second at the I Street Bridge, and we have a height of 17 feet, which is holding, and all that is rain runoff. And what's good about it is the dams are keeping all their water back. They're holding all the water right now, so we have warm water coming down, not cold water coming down. So as example, at the Blind Point this morning on Jersey Island, the water temperature in the San Joaquin River is 50 degrees. Pretty warm for this time of year.
50 or 60?
No, 50.
50, okay.
Yep.
Well, you know, that's acceptable. Well, I mean, sturgeon and everything, when it gets 45, I mean, I don't care how many fish are around, I mean, they get lockjaw a lot of the time.
Yeah, no, you know, the water temperature is critical right now to be able to fish for sturgeon. We had the storms come through. We flushed the delta out a little bit, got fresh water in the system. We have a lot of debris, so the guys that want to navigate at night, they have to be awfully careful for what's in the water because there's a lot of logs and stuff that have been holding on the levee system all year long, and now they're out floating around. So you got to be super careful what you're looking at.
Chris, thank you so much for the update.
Bob, we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Chris Lawrenson of Lawrenson's Yacht Harbor. Check on conditions down there. Like I say, a great ramp. It's protected and fish cleaning station. Area code 925-757-1916. When we come back, we'll get some steelhead fishing reports. Don't go away.